I don't hear an intro. Oh, there it is.
Another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdag.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Usama Dekdag from the state of Missouri. It is my joy to be with you here on the February of the 25th of the year of our Lord, 2023. This is the last meeting we'll have together in that month of February. Next time we're going to meet, it will be March, Lord is willing. With me tonight in the studio on my right hand is Sister Dawn Wolf. On the left hand, Sister Ella Wolf, and they are mother and daughter. This is a mama, this is a daughter. And with us tonight, as usual, my two wonderful co-hosts and producer, Christy Johnson, on the right side, the right corner, and on the bottom, brother Paul from Rochester, the state of New York. Well, it is a beautiful night, a special night with lots of music, lots of stories, lots of information we're going to share with you. And the Lord is willing, we're going to continue with our study, what the Quran says about Moses, part number 12. But if not, hey, we're going to have a special night and a good night with these two wonderful sisters and obviously Paul and Christy. Let me say hello to these two wonderful ladies and my right hand. Hello, Dawn.
Greetings.
Anything you want to share with the audience?
It's just a delight to be with you. I'm Dawn Wolf from Wisconsin, central Wisconsin, and we made the grand journey to visit our brother Usama, and we want to just share some of the things we've been up to over the last 20 years or so.
You're going to cover that all tonight.
But we can summarize 20 years in this 2 hour, I don't know how in the world you can even say hello. Anyway, so here's my beautiful daughter, beautiful, wonderful sister Chris also. Allah, and I call Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. I found out actually the name does not start with the letter A, but with the letter E. So I cannot say Allah, but Allah.
Allah will suffice.
Ella, there's a beautiful story with that name. Yeah.
I'm Ella Wolf. This is my mom. This is not my father, but I am his daughter, apparently.
Same mother, different mother.
I grew up playing in, well, one band, which is our family band, MPK, Christian Public Band. There's a CD. So I played fiddle in that, and then until a few years ago, my brother Noah started a band called King's Conquest. So yeah, we've been booking shows with that. So that's really cool, and that's about all there is for now.
And hey, wait. We have also this is a wonderful smart lady, and she actually will help us to know how to memorize the Bible and making the words of God in the Bible into songs. And you're gonna hear some of these songs. I promise you'll love it. So here's the Book of Titus. The Book of Titus was done in a music. You can literally,
the 11th song,
for sure, you will know the entire Book of Titus. And so many other books of the Bible that you've done from other books as well.
This is the first of hopefully many. I have Psalm 119. It's 22 songs, 8 verses apiece for the 176 verses of Psalm 119. Anyone can memorize the Bible with the tools that I hope to be able to produce, God, if he tarries.
Amen. So now we know a little bit about Dawn and Ella. Now we want to know a little bit about...
Tell them how to get those things. Wouldn't you think that's
well? All the projects are available everywhere music is found. Spotify, Amazon, blah, 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 YouTube Music, Pandora. If you actually want a physical copy, you have to come to our concert. So go to our website, mpkband.com, and you can find out where MPK will be playing. And if you go to kingsconquestmusic.com, you can find out where King's Conquest will be playing. And if you go to DonnieRobinBobin.com, I'm just going to be showing up at both gigs, MPK and King's Conquest. So we bring our CDs with us where we go, but everything is available online.
Awesome. Sometimes you come up forget to make sure people know. That's
all
awesome.
Right. All right, and we have
Just singing the Bible is such a great idea.
Yes, indeed. First time I heard Don that did one of the songs, I was like, man, what a unique way. Our dear Muslim friends all over the world memorize the Quran, which is almost 9.1 the size of the Bible. And it's not because they are experts in the Arabic language. They memorize it because the way the Quran is recited. And believe it or not, so many of those who memorize the Quran don't speak any Arabic. It is miraculous, demonic way. I'm not saying miraculous because God is above it, because we're not memorizing, for those who memorize the Quran, anything done or anything holy. Imagine memorize the Quran, the verse says to kill, to destroy, to steal, to rape, to all this wickedness and the sin of the Bible. That's not a holy thing, but somehow when you put the Quran in a recitation mood, poetry mood, a musical mood, you can memorize it. Come on, if we do the same thing to the Bible. But let me just sit down with her. First, if you saw when I went to Wisconsin, I was getting to know her, know her family. Like, wow, what a unique idea. And now she's reducing this. I mean, think about it. The Book of Titus. What a good start. In the Book of Titus, here it is, on CD 11 song, the Book of Titus. If you have children, you want to get them to memorize the Word of God in the English language, as they speak the English language, and they can understand. Why not get the CD and listen to it, and that will help them memorize one book of the Bible. And believe me, these 66 books of the Bible can be memorized in the same way. I remember when I was a child, Sheikh Latif, he was a man in his late 60s, early 70s, who memorized the entire Bible. No kidding, I sit next to him, and he said, grab the Bible, let's go to this book or that book. And he asked me to spot a specific chapter, and he moved on from that, reading 3-4 chapters. And here's the catch, the man was blind. He could not see, period. Imagine we have the music now, we have the words of God put in a song, and we have the eyes to read the Bible. Man, what excuse do we have for not encouraging our children and ourselves to memorize the Word of God, to use it for the glory of Christ, not only to fight the devil, as Jesus did when Satan came and tried to tempt him, but also to share the truth of the gospel with the lost people, to lead them to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, a little bit changed, so I'm going to ask Sister Dawn, or Ella, not Allah, but Ella, will to share with us some music. What do you want to start with?
How about Eat Online Vision?
All right.
The thing is, we're missing the rest of the band. So when we do this in a concert, there will be a whole Celtic feel. So you'll get the piano and the Celtic drums. And so, but, you know, it's Diet MTK tonight.
Movie touched my heart. It's always good to listen to comedy and the funny movies and the laughter, but I believe laughter will end within the first sad news or the beginning of something sorrowful. But the sad music lasts a long time. And I believe, in my case, it's sad music draw me to repentance, it draw me to the cross, and it helped me to kind of examine my heart, examine my thoughts. That's why I like Kamanga, the violin. But I also like this thing because, what do you call this?
This is a whistle.
Whistle.
Called a low D whistle.
Low D whistle. That
wow.
reminds me.
Wow.
That reminds me of David, because I believe David played one of these, not made of aluminum, but made out of wood. And I do have one at home. I love music, obviously. It's just I hold it for decor or something like that. But anyway, I love both of these instruments. And boy, as Mr. Blunt said, I wish we had the rest of the team so we can.
Well, yeah, this is really good.
And YouTube.
On YouTube. Go on YouTube.
MPK Band on YouTube. We got lots and lots of footage.
Amen. So hopefully and briefly some of you guys can go on YouTube and watch some of
MPK
these.
MPK Band.
I'm sorry?
MPK Band.
MPKBand.com. And then also YouTube, Google, MPK Christian Celtic Band, and you'll find us.
Celtic.
Christian Celtic Band.
Amen. All right. So, Christy, share something with us. I know you have some article or something you want to get into our program. I'm going to go to Paul, and then we're going to listen to some more.
You always go to me first, and I just walked in from a very long shift working. But I do have something. Hold on a second. I was going to make sure Paul had to go first, but I'll get over it. I got it.
I wanted to comment.
We have a lot of friends. In fact, when we go to church, primarily our congregation pastor and his family are from Nicaragua. And you might find this hard to believe, but what's happening in Nicaragua, which is just down there in South America, is the persecution of Christian ministers and Christians because their leader, Daniel Ortega, we've been hearing about him for years and years. So there's beginning to be a crackdown on churches in Nicaragua. So I just wanted to share that because our friends from Nicaragua, they really love the Lord, and they've had a really great impact on the opportunity for the Hispanic community who speak Spanish to be blessed by ministry. And we started going, so now they're doing their services in English and Spanish for us. But you can tell that when the persecution is beginning around the world, and it just keeps extending into more and more of the countries that are surrounding us. We know there's persecution in Canada. We're seeing this persecution that we know is going on, but little gets told about it. But this story did come out here just recently.
Well, we are close to the time, Christy. As you know, the scripture, the Lord has taught us that this will be the case. And the more we get closer to the end, the more we see the promises or the prophecies given by Christ to be fulfilled. It's not for us Christians to be surprised about that. And I believe this persecution will bring true cleansing to the body of Christ, the believers, as you put the gold into the fire, it gets pure, more pure. I know in America we have gold 14 carats and 18 carats and maybe 20 carats, whatever. In Egypt we have 24 carats. What is the difference between 24 carats and 14 carats? It is actually pure gold. How did the gold become more pure and more expensive and more rich? Resembled by putting it in the fire. Persecution is the awakeness of the church. And I believe the more we have persecution, for sure, we will have more persecution and be close to God. What do you have here, sister? Tell me about this.
Tested by fire. This is my children, Noah, my eldest son, Ezra, my third-born, and Ella, my baby. They have a band called King's Conquest, and their very first CD project is called Tested by Fire. And the title track is exactly about being purified.
Amen.
And God, he promised to come back for a bride without spot or blemish. he is going to get us ready, and there's no other way.
Exactly.
Amen.
As the Lord said himself that he will bring the fire to all these materials, the wood and the ashes and the gold. Of course, everything is going to burn except gold will be purified. And there's no halfway to Christianity. You're a believer in Christ or not. You're a born-again Christian or not. And we have so many faults and shortcomings in our life, but the goal of the ultimate goal, Christ wants us to be pure, to be holy, to be perfect. How are we going to do that? Get rid of some of the stuff in our life which is not given to the Lord. How are we going to do that? Simply through persecution or whatever hardship the Lord will allow us to go through. Amen?
Amen.
Christy, you want to share anything else?
Yes, I do. For those of you who aren't familiar with Frank's speech, this is Mike Lindell's TV station, and I saw a very amazing presentation on there with one of their hosts named Mike Crispy. He also has a radio broadcast. And you may recall that during the trip that the person who occupies the White House made to go to Ukraine, he made a speech at the exact same time that the Russian President Vladimir Putin made a speech. And because of the timing of it, nobody really saw the speech that Vladimir Putin made. And Mike Crispy showed clips of it. I am telling you, it was unbelievable that we have these two contrasting people talking. Vladimir Putin talked about the deterioration of morality in the United States, that this is not something tolerable to those who are Christians in the Greek Orthodox, or I'm sorry, Russian Orthodox population. He also talked about other religions being offended by the United States of America and their promotion of homosexual marriage, their promotion of pedophilia. I'm listening to the president of Russia talking about this. Now, people could say that's propaganda, but I don't believe it because I know that it was under Putin that my pastor, my personal pastor, traveled to Russia and the Ukraine to teach teachers in Russia and the Ukraine to teach the Bible in school. They wanted to restore morality in Russia, and they found my friend that I know, Dr. Olga, had made a recommendation to the Russian government, and Putin was the president then also, and she said, the thing we need to restore morality after studying, she's a doctorate in education. She said, we need to teach the Bible. He agreed to that, and they began teaching the Bible in their public school system. At the same time, we were getting rid of it. It's really weird to me that I can listen. And if I heard the two speeches, which one would I think was an American president? It's unbelievable. It's like we're living in the Twilight Zone. And I went, oh, my gosh. So I hope people will go and look for that speech. Because they only covered Biden's speech. Nobody really heard Vladimir Putin's speech, but it's worth checking it out. You'll just go, what?
It's being talked about in my church.
You Vladimir did talk Putin. About it? Awesome. Yeah,
well, it was talked about today, so not as a part of the church service or anything, but it was
people were talking about it. Yeah.
Individuals are talking about it here,
yeah.
So I thought that was very
but it. It's incredible. I mean, you wouldn't even believe it, but I do because of what I know about the history of them teaching the Bible in Russia.
The reality, Christy, is we know what is going on in America with our decline or our going down badly in our morality, but we also know from the scripture that God has chosen and used many unclean birds or people to bring the righteousness to his people, the children of Israel. We know that Elijah was fed for 3 years by a raven.
That's right.
Raven is unclean. How in the world raven can bring meat and bread to the prophet of God for 3 years? So we know also King Cyrus, who brought the children of Israel from the captivity back to Israel to prepare. course, this is prophecy has to be fulfilled, the prophecy of Daniel and others. So it is not surprised that the a non-godly person, as we all look at Putin, the prime minister of Russia, see, that's a very ungodly man. God can use a raven, God can use an ungodly king, God can use ungodly men to bring the righteous to
the truth is the truth. And that's what, it doesn't matter who's speaking the truth. It's still the truth.
Exactly. Well, before we get to Paul, I want my dear sisters here to share something. Do you want to play something by yourself? Like something exciting. What do you like?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Let's do it.
Because I mentioned that you really like sad music.
But don't make me cry here tonight.
Oh.
Make it sound like more very sad. Oh, but it's your instrument. I love it.
Okay. I have a song for a piece. We're talking about classical music. It is a piece.
Make it longer.
So, okay. I will play as much as I can remember.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. Let me get positioned.
Short and long, that children are of heritage, or elderly so wise, when
woman now who sees her fading past abortions on the rise. Worldview madness is everywhere I turn. Even though they think their eyes are wrapped in goggles fern. Worldview madness, the culture war is here. Hurry up and choose your lines as battle lines are clear. The Bible says the word of God with stories penned by men. It's beautiful. My friend, only the weak-minded chef believes it to be true. Close-minded right-wing weirdos wish they all moved to Peru. Worldview madness is everywhere I turn. Even though this thinks they're wise, they got a lot to learn. Worldview madness, the culture war is here. Hurry up and choose your side, the battle lines up here. I'm labeled as a homophobe by syntax in the genes. Justification of a lifestyle that means to do no good to marriage. I bank on that deposit. The homosexual lobby needs to get back in its closet. Worldview madness is everywhere I turn. Even though they think they're wise, they're just in hell to learn. Worldview madness, the culture war is here. Hurry up and choose your life to land while I'm not there. Islam's not the way of peace that claims to be. Allah is the devil and Muhammad was deceived. The wicked man killed thousands, was a pedophile with nerves. The street Quran and Tommy and the truth you will observe. Worldview madness is everywhere I turn. Even though they think they're wise, they are lost if they don't turn. Worldview madness, the culture war is here. Hurry up and choose a point to analyze our failures. The days are short, he's coming back. My friend, there's not much time. The devil is our enemy behind this slimy crime. The world is Jesus desperately. His word is very clear. When he returns, lost souls will shed some very bitter tears. Worldview madness is everywhere I turn. Even though they think they're wise, we'll burn at his return. Worldview madness, the culture war is here. Hurry up and choose your side to battle. Signs are clear. Dun 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 dun. Hey!
Before I let you go, read to me the verse I want you to one more time. Because that is the verse you speak about.
That it is the devil, and Muhammad was deceived. The wicked man killed with a pestle with nerves, friend and honey.
I like your Team Jesus shirt. Did you get that from Pete Santilli?
There's only two teams. There's
I know.
I stand on the sidelines.
Jesus team and?
Team double.
Team double.
That's
it. I remember when she talked about that in her home years ago, and I said, man, she got it right. Because as you and I, Paul, we're talking here, I know we talk about that before you get back to the news, and we said about, there's only one fact. Everything else is a lie. It doesn't matter. Mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. I can give you a million other numbers, a trillion other numbers. They're all wrong. There's only one truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, people can choose. As we're going to see also tonight, is the uniqueness of Christianity and tradition. It is two ways, the devil way or Christ way. You can save yourself or you need a Savior. No other way. Amen?
Amen.
So, Paul, some articles, if you want to, something you want to share with us.
A rather humorous story, and the fact that it's about care is what's humorous. This is out of Washington. I like the way it's written. This is by, let me put the link in the chat when we forget. And I think I still got it here. All right, here we go. This should make everybody, Kevin, laugh on this. Hamas Link Care says no, no one should take it seriously. This is by Larry Estevan, and it came out today. Steve Emerson, the Investigative Project on Terrorism, has taken a look at the Hamas Link Care motion to dismiss Tamar Herman's defamation lawsuit against it. Predictably, Emerson finds Care trying to have it both ways. Tamar Herman was a New Jersey elementary school teacher who became the subject of a rumor on social media that was started by former Olympic fencer Ibtihaj Muhammad. According to the former Olympian's social media post, Herman had publicly removed the hijab one of her students in class, and this could not stand. As a result, Ibtihaj Muhammad's followers showered to Herman's with threats. School board placed her on administrative leave, and she felt she needed to seek police protection. Also, the former Olympian's call to action by doing what it does best, that is, get on TV, and at least four separate broadcasts, Kara called for Herman to be fired, even though Kara knew nothing about what had actually happened and potentially interfered with an ongoing police investigation. Tamar Herman had not only effectively lost her job, but her career as well. However, this is the good part of it. In this overview of Kara's motion to dismiss, Emerson draws our attention to this portion of Kara's legal filing, in which the organization says that its claims are, this is where it gets funny, subjective views, epithets, rhetorical hyperbole used to express the Kara Foundation's deeply held opinions about the incident in Herman. Rhetorical hyperbole. Remember the next time Kara is on TV calling for someone to be fired, because the organization apparently does not actually believe that. It's just venting. And it's not news. If lawyers go on to state that everybody knows Kara does not really mean what it says, they're just posturing. This is on page 32 of their motion to dismiss. Context is key here. Kara's Foundation role as a staunch advocate for Muslim Americans signals to readers that these are underlined statements, but an expression of subjective belief. Opinion from his point of view. It's worthless. It's just, basically, they're telling everybody, don't listen to them. They don't. That's their excuse for trying not to get sued.
I'm amazed how Kara is getting bigger and bigger with their propaganda, because simply the American people do not have a clue what Kara actually believes or why they're here, where they believe. It's deception. It's all about deception.
Yes.
Right. We heard the song, but I love the whistle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we have to make you do whistle. Do you have something that you want to play for us with your whistle?
My new book, Jesus Be the Boss of Me, I wrote a poem called The Gospel of Revolution. It's okay, brother.
Absolutely.
You saw my poem.
Yes.
So, you know, come ye sinners, we never get over the gospel. No matter where you are in your journey with Christ, there's always that awareness of our desperate, desperate, hopeless condition of sinner. The Bible says in 1 John 1:7, he who says he is without sin is a liar. You know, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin,
mm-hmm,
and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that continual life action of repentance. So gospel revolution, I think that is the antidote to everything.
Amen.
So here it is. This is going to be in the book, Jesus Be the Boss Me, coming soon, Poetry and Ponderings, Volume 2, as soon as I get it printed. And this is on my page. You got to go to G. Okay. They're all in alphabetical order. But PDFs on a stupid phone. Okay.
That's okay.
I'm finding it. Sorry,
we'll
guys.
We'll find it.
I'm up to F. Okay. Gospel Revolution. And no, I'm not there yet. I'm on J. I. Oh, close. H-I-J-G. Ah, here we are. All right. Now I am here, and now I'm not going to push the sideline. You can storm and stomp all you want, but it won't change the hearts of men. You can shout with clouds being wiped about. You can write decrees and laws with a pen. Elephants will trumpet, donkeys will bray. There's really nothing new under the sun. Welcome to another problem-filled, dysfunctional day. You can't solve a spiritual problem with God. We need a gospel revolution. The Beatles song, All You Need Is Love, which now is tolerance and nice, mercy and truth to the kiss. Beatles brand of love to fight. They sent true justice on a vacation, hypocrisy, shifting standards, run rampant in the nation. But there is a solution. We need a gospel revolution. The devil deceives. Since the beginning of time, he uses every opportunity to divide. This enemy conceives diabolical plots with much reason and rhyme. Wake up, human. He lied. He twists. He thwarts. He tempts. He stuns. We so need a gospel revolution. Much of the world has rejected Jesus, the only truth that saves. They have taken the bait of the enemy and are bound in caves as slaves. Caves of fear, greed, caves of hopelessness, caves of sexual deviancy, caves of despair, caves of loneliness, caves of darkness with no light, this awful sin prison of night. Millions of lost souls without a redeemer, without the Holy One. Desperately need a gospel revolution. The church needs to be revived. She's lost for sure. The world desperately needs to be revived. So many have never even heard there is a cure. So who will hear the call? Who will drop their agenda and on their knees fall? There are two weapons that will detonate darkness. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, able to pierce to the core with holy sharpness. Double-edged truth for the faith of God. Our second holy weapon, it's prayer. For commoners, for kings, for everybody, everywhere. For foes and friends, not stopping. Side of heaven, care is becoming rare. Prayer is gospel revolutionary warfare. Time is running short, church. It is time to rally. Judge Jesus will return in wrath. No more moments to dilly-dally. The evidence is crystal clear. This world is choking on sin solutions. Seek the Lord while he is near. Pray and fast for resolution. Go in his power. Be the gospel revolution.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know that? Yes. Man, this is awesome.
Jesus be the boss. I'm coming soon. If you saw him, he's going to help me find a good printer.
Amen. We'll find a good printer, Lord's willing.
Yes.
And that book will be out. I
wonder who that is.
You can find all sorts of the stuff. My book is called Dead Guys Don't Sin, Poetry and Pondering, Volume 1. And that, DonnieRobinBobin.com, you can find tons of. I do a thing called Wisdom Wednesday with MPK. So every Wednesday on YouTube, you can hear a little something. Sometimes there's a poem. Sometimes it's just
you just give
Bible-y,
you know,
super cool Bible-y stuff.
Amen.
It's just so necessary.
I'm telling you, God is killing me.
I was just going to say, I was really excited to hear about our connection to Uganda, because I find so incredible how God works. Our pastor from Nicaragua has just made 2 missionary trips in the last 3 months to Uganda, mm-hmm. to minister there to pastors, particularly in Muslim areas. Usama sent some of his books. And now we have friends in Uganda who are preaching the gospel.
I think there is revival in many different places in America,
yeah.
and around the world. We just have to pray that the gospel revolution will take place in our life as believers in Christ. And then we can reflect the light of the gospel to those who are around us. It's going to be dark. It's going to be darker. It's going to be hard. It's going to be harder as we continue close to the end of time. And I believe that's where the light of the truth of the gospel will shine even brighter from the Christian believers, those who are willing to carry the gospel revolution to the rest of the world.
Amen.
Come on. What do you have in mind? I see you're thinking. You're pondering something you want to share. Go for it, brother.
Let's see. I have an interesting story out of Canada. I know that we have a couple Canadian listeners tonight, and I see that they are now copying a former DHS program that we had under Obama. And Obama had created a program where they would finance and make secure the infrastructure around stations like AIR and your local mosque with at least $10,000 to secure the facility. And I actually wrote something on this about 5 years ago, and all of a sudden had some black ones following me around. But they now have this exact same program in Canada.
Hmm.
And it says it's eligibility criteria. Places of worship, such as a temple, a mosque, a synagogue, a gurdwara or church. I mean, so these, you have to, the justification in the United States was that you had to prove that you have been threatened. In the United States, for the mosques and stuff, they never proved that. And that was one of the things that my investigation report showed. So it was kind of interesting.
Well, I love it how they drop the church on the bottom of the list as they give it start with a temple and a mosque, and then lay it down there in the list of the church. And obviously, when you talk to the liberals of the West, they'll say, we do not need to hear about the gospel. We do not need to hear about the church or Christianity, because everybody knows about Christianity. We need to learn about Islam, the beautiful and peaceful religion of Muhammad. And that is the dumbest, stupidest excuse I've ever heard. And I don't have any problem to learn about Islam. But not the hogwash Islam or the propaganda Islam. I mean the Islam of Allah, the Islam of Muhammad, the Islam of the Quran and the Hadith, exactly as it is written in the book. Not the propaganda they teach our children in our public schools and all over the media in the West. Islam is what it is not. If you want to know the real Islam, go to the book. And the book is the Quran. If you want to know the real Islam, go to the book of Hadith, the Sunnah of Muhammad, the bibliography of Muhammad, as it is written by the beloved followers of Muhammad. It is a savage cult, not what you hear, not what you read, sadly, in our textbooks, not what we're supposed to say, or all over the media of the West. God help us. Anyway, so, Allah, you've been resting for almost an hour. You rested enough that you're not tired anymore to bear on that.
Call another song.
You have to.
Okay. What do you want to hear? I'll take a question.
Something go with the commander.
The what?
For the
violin.
We're called Kamenga in
Arabic. A what? Oh,
Kamenga.
Oh, like, I thought you were singing a song. I'm like, I don't know that one.
You don't know the Kamenga song.
Okay, I mean, we can ask Christy or Paul to pick up that song. What do you want, Paul? What do you want to hear from this wonderful young lady here?
I probably the wrong. Nah.
So what?
I'm not going to recommend anything.
I love the Celtic music that y'all are playing. It's
yeah,
some of favorite.
Yeah,
so,
this gift right. Was being hit with some cups.
Yeah.
How do you do the sleep sound in the morning set?
You'd have to start it because I
just play a little tune, but when someone's like, hey, okay, traditional reel, we always get mixed up with traditional reel and
Ask how people can have done and her band come as their church. How can we all of you to go and speak as a church?
Okay, mtkband.com, contact.
Can you write this down, Chris, in the chat?
No, but Paul can. I'm not allowed to write in there.
mtkband.com, use their contact button on our website at the top, contact. And then you just type in, we need MTK for our church. And then we will get that. And then we will, I will email back. It will take us to our email. And we will definitely call you.
You got it?
Yep. mtkband.com, contact. We would love to come to your church.
All right, and Brother Paul put it in the comments. And here it is there. Here we go. Where is that? MPK.com. Yes, indeed. It is there. And you can also see it on the full screen. Wonderful. Good.
KingsConquestMusic.com. If you want King's Conquest Music to come to your church, that would be Ella and her two brothers, Ezra and Noah. They are fabulous.
Conquest and our King's Conquest.
KingsConquestMusic.com. KingsConquestMusic.com. Just opened for Ben Fuller like a week, 2 weeks ago. And
it might be three.
And they are playing a post-game show at the Oshkosh Arena on Monday, March 13th. So the Wisconsin Herd is a NBA G League basketball team, and the Oshkosh Arena seats 3,500 people, and I think there are tickets available still. There were 500 tickets left for that arena game.
I didn't know that.
So you need to get your tickets and come to Oshkosh.
Yes, get the tickets and go to hear them.
Ticket Conquest, they're amazing. I am so proud of my beautiful children.
Thanks, Mom.
All right. Of course, every mom proud of her children.
I'm not biased. I interviewed other people. I'm like, am I biased? And they're not that great. And they're like, no, they are great. So it's not just me.
Good. That's good news. That's awesome. So I don't know if you have anything in mind you want to share with our people or how we just...
I covered the stories that I wanted to share. There was something else. But I kind of lost it in the music. If I think of it, I'll butt in, okay?
Well, sorry, we're going without preparation. We're not following a script here tonight.
Yeah.
I just was so proud to have this wonderful mother and daughter to be here. And I hope that you enjoy the music as a song for us. And if they want to leave us, they can leave us. Just go online, check them out. Get the CDs, listen to some of the music, invite them to your church, and I hope and I pray that you enjoy it as I have been always enjoying. I remember going to Don's home, and they host me many times, and I'm not kidding you, 7 o'clock in the morning, I wake up as this young lady practicing the violin in her room, and I said to my mind, man, that was years ago. I said, that young lady is going to be sharp, and she is sharp. So we don't have any notes here, they don't have anything that's here to spend some good time with us, but believe me, knows that everything I think would be much better than that, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. You should have practiced.
Well, I didn't practice. I just put them on the spot. I said, come on, our cameras and share with my people. My people are very simple people, not very arrogant or something. We love to listen to music as we have done it so many times as different teams. Remember Gary Berman? Remember Kate Larson? And other people, all the people who bring to our podcast, we don't have this script to read or grab again. We just share our heart and our love for you, and that's all what we need. Okay, do you have any Christian song? What Christian song do you want to play for us?
I could sing a cappella one song from Titus the Musical.
Okay.
How about I do the Calypso Rhythm Line?
The Calypso Rhythm Line.
Yes. Wait. Remind them, and Ella's going to do harmony because she... Okay.
Oh, no, wait a second. I didn't agree to this.
Yes, you did.
Oh, you did.
So anyway, I heard you sing this, and your harmony was marvelous. See, okay, this started as a class. I was teaching teenagers at our church. Ella was in my class, And so we decided to do the book of Titus line by line, and we sang all the way through Titus, and they were the first one. And so that those three kids in my class, they got to memorize the entire book of Titus way before it came out, 5 years ago, I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Titus 3, 1 through 8. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once also foolish, deceitful, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but with mercy you save us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom we poured out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. This is a thing, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That those who have in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Titus 3, 1 through 8.
I love it. Yes. What do you think, Paul? What do you think, Christine? Can we speak the entire book of Titus
in these
11 songs?
Well, I don't know about 11, but I do know that we used to teach kids the verses from the Bible with little short little songs. So I think this is awesome. I'm hoping I can get this.
Yeah. Don and the team. All right. Don R. Wolf. That's very awesome. I'm looking forward to, I already got my CD, so I'm not worried about having to play it tonight, but I will devote my car, believe it or not. When I hit the road, I'm talking about 12, 15 hours in any. So I got some songs. Hey, in a few weeks, I'll memorize the book of Titus myself.
There you go. And you can go and sing it at your next event. How about that?
Absolutely. All right. So, one more song. Come on.
One more song.
Yes.
Okay.
You did have a request here. I don't know if you saw that earlier. It was to play your favorite Celtic music.
The favorite Celtic music. My favorite one. I only know the song because it is my favorite. Video for sessions really cool on our YouTube channel, MPK Band. It's at MPK Band. If you go to YouTube, that's how you find
it. And here at, for those who are dyslexic, I'm going to repeat it. It's PK Band. Mm-hmm. Us dyslexic.
Mama and the Preacher Kids.
Oh, okay.
That's what MPK stands for. Mama and the Preacher's Kids. Our dear
All
mama.
Right. So now we know what it is.
We became a band. This is the story of MBK. We did a quick diet version. But in 2006, my mom was a nurse for 42 years. And she's like, Donnie, I just want to be in a band. And so we put our first CD out in 2006. We have been doing music ministry to family for all these years. We have six projects in the bag, six CDs total. My poor mama graduated to heaven in 2019. My dad, Preacher, and my beautiful mom were rear-ended at 85 miles an hour on their beautiful orange Can-Am Spider, and mom got launched into his lap. It was just a horrific season. But at the same time, beauty out of ashes, God doesn't waste anything, and so you just keep serving him. So Mama and the Preacher's Kids is a legacy. And what you're seeing is you're seeing three generations. Mm-hmm. You're seeing the foundation. And I'm just so excited for what God's going to do. We just got to, I keep telling you, do better than we did. Fix the hypocrisy we blew it in. Just don't up, church. It's time for the next generation to be able to pass that baton. We have to level up.
No.
This girl's generation is the lostest yet. They so desperately need the gospel. So we just got to keep praying for open doors and
then, as you talk about your mom, I have a little bit goosebumps. I remember your mom, how wonderful sister she was, how loving, and I mean, she had this always smile and joy in her heart and joy in her face. And she was so excited. She was proud of you guys being on the stage first time I saw you together. And she's like, I don't know, pushing you, loving on you, hugging you. And when mom passed away, I remember that day. It's a hard time on family, everybody. But you guys are both good home. You're always rejoicing, even in her death. It's been, to me, as an Egyptian, it's a little bit strange. In Egypt, when somebody passed away, believe it or not, there's always deep sorrow. But I did not see the sorrow, even though you lost your beloved mom. But you have the joy and the peace of the Lord. And I believe she's alive in you and in her, and hopefully, bravely in her children. So this is the passing of the baton for the next generation. And I believe your mom has done a great job to raise you, right? And I believe she is, if she can look down on us from heaven, she will rejoice in seeing you be on the show today to blaze the music because it is something she likes and she loves. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any other questions before I let these two ladies go? Going once.
I want to tell them that I really appreciate the message about trying to reach these young people. I couldn't agree with you more. I spend a lot of time doing ministry with single moms, seeing their kids being improperly influenced and parented in what are supposed to be our really good schools and colleges. And this is a place where young people think they're going to advance their personal skills and their opportunities of the future, and it's devastating this young generation. And I couldn't agree with you more. So to keep them in prayer and also reach out, because so many of them don't have the benefit of a full family. And when one parent is the parent alone and then they have to go to work, we've been talking about it. The idea of growing up in a family is almost disintegrated in this generation. It's terrible.
Thank you, no fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible. Believe it or not, Ella have a brother. His name is Judah. And he was about to play for us. That gift is his piano. Yeah. He can play better than before. I mean, I'll be in their home, and he's a great message. That Judah go upstairs, he is the one who's playing from his head. He doesn't know, he doesn't know. But when he was playing, he played from his head. So gifted, I begged him to come and play for us tonight. So we got more keyboard here, try the wire, it does not work. The other keyboard, one of the speakers off, so I don't have the right. But who knows, maybe next time, I will be in Wisconsin, in the old town, I will get the whole team to join us. I talk about Noah, Ezra, Judah, and him.
Yeah.
And maybe your sister.
Ooh, Athens,
I'm telling you, straight, the whole family, you're going to have a great old Christian. So keep this family in your prayers, as you continue to serve the Lord, this is the family which will continue to carry the baton for the next generation. And I hope that I will see you guys with the rest of your team. Maybe in Wisconsin, we can have another Saturday night, and we'll have more music real up. We need breakfast.
Okay.
We will definitely practice. I had a 5-minute notice that I was going to be here tonight.
5 minutes? That doesn't
matter. Hey, that's the Usama is famous for this. We understand. Yeah.
but we were sitting on the table playing, what do you call this?
Golf.
And I said, it's time to go to the stadium. When? Now? Why? It's a little bit weird for Ellen. But
you did awesome. Both of you ladies. So thank you for joining us.
God bless you, Brother Paul. You can take a break, and after the break, Lord willing, we'll come back and we will be sharing with you part 12 of our study, what does the Quran say about Moses? All right? Quick break. We'll be right back.
Bye-bye.
Inspired word of Allah, the Quran. In fact, Muhammad claimed the only miracle was the Quran itself. But is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophets in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about Sajjad? The creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records and pieces of information about famous biblical characters, such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible, and even contradicting itself.
3 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the error of the Quran. But then we had another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translator who translated the Quran to the English language hides many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spent several years with an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then began production and have now finished our latest project, Exposed About the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic history these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Allah, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the dangers and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copies and case pricing is available.
And welcome back. We're glad to have you, Zot, in this night. February 25th, the year of our Lord 2023. I hope you guys enjoyed the music for Sister Nan and Ella. Wonderful team, wonderful family. And I hope and I pray that you will get the CD, get the music, go on YouTube or whatever you can to share also this information with your friends and invite them to your church. They will come and speak. I heard them before many times, and I hope that you do the same as well. All right, Paul, where we stop and where we're going? Is this Quran or is this, Bible? Let's see. As what was on the table? tablets. Oh, that's obviously this is Quran. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Simply, neither Muhammad nor scholars knew what was on the tablets, for they claimed there were many tablets because the word Quran used in the Arabic text means three or more, causing the scholars to be confused. As for the sayings in Quran 7:145, and we wrote for him in Allah.
Allah.
And what does that mean?
The word Loh is actually the word we use for a board of wood.
From everything, a sermon and an exposition of everything. The word everything, a sermon and exposition of everything, causes Muslim scholars to believe it was a huge book with as many tablets as described previously. However, as we explained before, there were only two tablets. The only thing written on them were the Ten Commandments. See, that's too hard for them to get. Here's another proof. The Muslims erred and lied. Qatada made up the following conversation as described by Ibn Kathir. The conversation took place between Moses and Allah. For the sake of time, I will shorten it. Moses said, O Lord, I see in the tablets the best nation on earth. Command what is right and forbid what is evil. Make them my nation, Allah answered. This is the nation of Ahmed.
That's what they're saying here. Allah is speaking about Muhammad people in that tablet. It was written about Muhammad people. So they said, wow, I love that. I have this for me, for my people. It's Allah, no, I'm sorry. It's a for Ahmed or Muhammad. It's another name of Muhammad, Ahmed, which means I praise. I praise you, Ahmeduka. I praise you, Ahmed. I praise. Anyway, so here's Moses is disappointed because here he wanted his people to be his.
Moses said, the last creation and first enter the paradise who believe in the book, the first book, and the last book who engage in war with others, who will be misguided until they kill the one-eyed liar, the Antichrist. Make them my nation, Allah said. These are the nation of Ahmed. Moses said, if one of the guys to do a good deed, and then he did not do it, it will be accounted to him as a good deed. However, if he does do it, you account it to him as 10 good deeds, or up to 700 times good deeds. Wow. Allah said, these are the nation of Ahmed.
I'm telling you, brother, there's more information about the Muslims, the Muhammad people, in these tablets, okay? The tablet alluded with people about Muhammad. It's so amazing. I cannot wait to do a start with you guys about numbers, Muhammad and numbers. So here we go. I am thinking in my head, well, I want to help some poor people. But I know I'm just, the thought in my mind, I'm going to help Sister Christy. She needs a new car. I'm thinking about helping her. A new car. All right. Now I get a blessing of thinking about it without even doing it. Now if I did, I get 10 blessings or maybe up to 700. You know, this jump from 10 to 700. If Allah would say 10 or 12, 10 or 14, 10 or 16, 10 or 15, it makes sense. But 10 or up to 700? What the thing is? Imagine with me, you're going to buy a car. And the guy says, look, how much is car? And say, $1,000 or $700,000. You see, the guy lost his money. He literally, that salesman is not just stupid. He lost his money. How much is a bottle of water? $1 or maybe $1,000. You run away from him. $1,000. Exactly. That's how Allah does not have logic with his numbers, because Muhammad does not have logical numbers. Why? I'm sorry. Anyway.
Kelvin, was he, if he actually existed, that he couldn't get his numbers right? Okay. Qatada repeats other things Moses saw on the tablets, but for the sake of time and space, we might repeat all of these made-up teachings. Obviously, what Muslim scholars meant by Ahmed was Muhammad. Qatada mentioned, and Moses renounced the tablets, and he said, O Allah, make me the nation of Ahmed.
Now, because Moses could not make that nation his people, He himself was like to become a Muslim. He would like to be a Muhammad follower. MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Allah. You know what I think? I think Muhammad was so arrogant. Muhammad was so full and arrogant, and he didn't want anything better than that. He wanted Moses to be his followers. When in reality, he lived in disobedience to every command God gave to Moses. And we're going to get to it in our study, in our book. But we can talk about the laws of Sharia, Islamic law, and the laws of the biblical teaching. And you see that in the opposite, the immorality of Islam, the immorality of Muhammad, about every topic. I mean, I can sit here right now and I think about 1,000 topics. I'm not kidding, 1,000 topics. And all of them, Muhammad went in the opposite of what Moses did. Let me share with you. Which one am I sharing? Okay. Divorce. The Bible is very clear. God Moses allowed the people to have divorce. And a man must write a certificate of divorce and give it to the lady. Why? So she can move on and move on with her life. She can get married to somebody else because of her wife. And she says, like, no, she got a certificate of divorce. She can move on and marry somebody else. It is legal. Moses allowed them. Why? Because the people were stubborn, because the people have a hard neck. But, important doctrines there. In the laws, as God gave to Moses, it says, if a man divorces his wife, and she marry another husband, if the new husband dies, or if the new husband divorced her, she can no longer go back to her first husband. I just read this yesterday in Jeremiah. I read this in Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, all in agreement. A man divorces his wife if she marries a new husband. If the new husband divorces her, or if the new husband dies, she can no longer go to her first husband. Why God put this law there? To make it important. Why God want to make it important? That before a man divorces his wife, not to think once or twice or 100 times, maybe 16,000 times. If I lose my wife and she got out of my house, I will never have her back. If she marry another man, even if she dies, I will never have her back. End of story. What did Muhammad say about that? If a man married a wife and divorced her, bring her back. He can divorce a second time. He can bring her back. He divorced a third time. He can have her back. What? That woman must live in adultery, in fornication, in abomination, so she can go back to her first husband. And how? It's very simple. We need a muhallil. What is muhallil? The man who makes that woman lawful back to her husband. What kind of man is that man? A man will marry her. He must have sex with her even one night. He must enjoy her, and she must enjoy him. They must have good orgasm. Muhammad said, they have hot sex, orgasm, okay? Now, after God's orgasm, if the new husband divorced that wife, now she is lawful to go back to her first husband. The opposite, Paul and Christy, the opposite of what God ordered and commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel. And somehow, that Muhammad, thinking that Moses want to be his follower. So Muhammad is not a man who lives in fornication and adultery, in abomination. If you do that, you commit an abomination before the eyes of the Lord. The judgment of God will be on you. Muhammad somehow could not find anything wrong in the Sharia, Islamic law, marriage and divorce, Quran, chapter 2, verse 229 and 230. Read. Paul, grab your Quran. Grab your Quran. Some people think I made it up.
I was just going to say that Dad Drew is pointing something out as well, so let me read that. What was the passage again in the Quran?
Quran chapter 2, verse 229, and chapter 2, and verse
200. Okay. Just had yours up. I have your book packed away, so I haven't unpacked yet, so hold on a second.
Okay.
I just had it up here.
I think it's important to share it with for people here.
Yeah, and I'm going to put it up.
229 and 230. Yes, sir.
Over here.
229. So scroll all the way down.
229. Chapter 2,
229? 229 and 230. You are 100 right now. Keep going. You are 150, 60, 70, 80. Keep going. Here is 200 coming up. I need 229. We go over.
Here we go.
Now, go ahead.
Divorce, so keep them in fairness, or put them away in fairness. It is not lawful for you to take what you have given to them of anything. They fear that they cannot keep the limits of Allah. So if you fear that they cannot keep the limits of Allah, so no sin will be on them for what she will herself give for her redemption. These are the limits of Allah. So do not transgress them. And whoever transgresses the limits of Allah, so those are the unjust.
Go down, 230.
Okay. So if he divorces her a third time, so it is not unlawful for him to take her again till she has sex with another husband. So it's not lawful for him to take her until she has sex with another husband. So if he divorces her, then there will be no sin on them if they return to each other, if they think they can keep the limits of Allah. And these are the limits of Allah. He shows them to people who know.
I remember talking to my professor who taught us Sharia, Islamic law, college in Alexandria, Egypt. And I could not, I mean, I was arguing with him for the fun of arguing. And I said, this is not right. I said, I mean, you're putting the woman in a position that she has to be married to this guy. She must be, literally, she has to be abused by him sexually so she can go back to prison. And he said, I don't understand. The worst thing, listen carefully, guys, the worst thing for a Muslim man is to know that his wife is sleeping or his ex-wife is sleeping with another guy. And that's Allah's punishment on him. So the man will, and next time he will not rush to divorce his wife because he learned a good lesson, the suffering. He knows that somebody else is playing with his wife. Excuse me, does this wife have any value? Does this wife have any respect? Is this wife a piece of garbage? It's like a donkey or a goat. You're going to borrow your goat to somebody else to sleep with his goat so you can have your goat back? This is incredibly thick, especially when I know that the book of Deuteronomy is the opposite. Deuteronomy 24, 1 to 4, Christy, get your Bible, please.
Okay, hold on.
No, I put Christy on the spot. I put everybody on the spot.
You always do this.
Deuteronomy what?
24, 1 to 4. If you can open it online, Carl.
I got it online, so I'm opening it online. But
okay, can you share it?
Well, yes, but I have to let it open up because my computer. Okay, it's Deuteronomy what?
24, verse 1 to 4.
Okay, wait a minute. I have so much stuff open on my computer. It's kind of like...
That's okay. Take your time.
I got it. Come on. Let's get to where it's wrong. Okay. Next chapter.
24.
All right.
1 to 4.
All right. There. Okay, Deuteronomy 24:1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it shall come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she's departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And his husband meet her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. Or if the latter husband dies, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
Imagine me, what Muhammad called halal or lawful, the Bible called abomination. The worst thing you can do in the land is to sin against God. It is the lawful sin for Muhammad to practice. Somehow Muhammad thinks that Moses needs to be a follower of Muhammad. Instead of Muhammad, repent of his sin and his claim to be a prophet and believe in Moses' writing and forget about the garbage of his Quran, the immorality of his Quran. No, you didn't get it, Christy. Muhammad thinking that Moses said, oh, Allah, I want to be a follower of Muhammad. This, I cannot have his people to be my people. Make me one of his people. This must be true, isn't it? The people lack of knowledge. The Muslims have no clue what the Bible teaches about. Many. I just picked up examples from my head. I was not even prepared for it. But if I would go through the Sharia, the Islamic law, all that which is Brother Paul teaching on his own program of Sharia, it is the opposite. The holiness of the Bible is the opposite of the wickedness and the savage teaching of Sharia. And somehow, Muhammad thinks Moses literally asked Allah, oh Allah, please, I want to be a Muslim. I want to be a follower of Muhammad. All right. Let's move on. The cow and the children of Israel. The cow and the children of Israel.
The story comes from Quran 2:67 to 73. Let us begin with verse 67. And when Moses said to his people, surely Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. And let me get my verse here, back here. They said, do you take us as a scoff? He said, I seek refuge from Allah, and that I be the foolish. It is because
of
the...
Let's stop it for a minute. Did Moses ever have this conversation with the children of Israel? That is no. That's trustless. Did the children of Israel, are you joking with us, Moses? Are you kidding? Or is this true? No, why? You know why? Because the children of Israel know about sacrifices way before Moses was born. As a matter of fact, they know about the sacrifice from Adam. They know about sacrifice from Noah. They know about sacrifice from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They know about sacrifice all their life. As a matter of fact, when they left Egypt, what was the reason Moses gave to Pharaoh? As we just already studied that a few weeks ago, in part number 5 or 6 or 7, guys. If you have not seen these 12 parts, go back and watch them. Please go back and watch them. Educate yourself. It's 12 hours worth reading, worth watching 300 times, okay? Share them with others. If you have already watched them, share with others. If not, go back and watch them. Moses tell Pharaoh, let my people go. We're going to go out, travel for 3 days to sacrifice, to worship our God. This conversation we read here in Quran chapter 67, verse 67 to 73, did this conversation ever took place between Moses and the children of Israel? The answer is no. Was he surprised? No. Why did they say, oh, Moses, are you serious? Are you taking us for a joke? Are you being funny with us about killing a cow? That conversation did not happen. Muhammad invented it.
He said, I seek refuge from Allah that I be of the foolish. It is because of this portion that Quran 2 is named the of the cow.
Yeah, not just for that chapter. Every chapter of the Quran have a name, and the name comes from a portion of the story, or sometimes just that word is mentioned somewhere in the chapter. So guess what? The book of the cow, it is named the book of the cow because of this story, the fairy tale, the made-up propaganda of Muhammad in Quran chapter 2, verses 67 Israel. Forever. Continue.
Okay. For every portion of Revelation carries a name which naturally comes from a story of earth or in the portion of Revelation. Ibn Kathir interpreted these verses by stating that Ibn Abbas and other Muslim scholars helped the old man among the children of Israel, who had nephews who wished him dead so they could have his inheritance.
Do you notice here? Made up. Not only Allah the Quran made up stuff, the great scholars of Islam are made up. Rich guy, now you wish him to die, still get inherited. Where can we read this in the Quran? Anywhere? In the Bible? Anywhere? No, doesn't exist. It's only in the imagination of Muhammad and Allah and those so-called Muslim scholars, Muslim dummers, okay? Keep going,
the fantasy and scholars. One of them purposely killed him at night, and they threw his body onto the crossroads. It was said the body was in front of the door of a man among them.
Wow.
What an amazing contradiction in one sentence. Where was the body left? The answer is that it was in front of the door of a man among them. Normal common sense says that if someone kills a person, the body would be put far away from the door, not right in front of it. When they
actually, if you learn it good, remember Moses when he killed the Egyptian? What did he do? He buried the body in the sand. But God's going to kill his uncle. What are you going to do with the body? Leave it in front of the door or bury it? I mean, what logic is that? You want to hit your uncle. You're going to kill him and leave the body in front of the door. Wow. What an amazing scholar. Go ahead.
This is crazy. The amazing contradiction in one sentence. Where was the body? That from the door of a man among them. Normal common sense says that if someone kills a person, the body would be put far away from the door, not right in front of them. When they woke up in the morning, the people disagreed. A few shouted and complained, so they said, why do you disagree? Why don't you come to the prophet of Allah? So his nephew came and complained to the messenger of Allah, Moses. So Moses sought for any witness concerning this murder, but could not find anyone with knowledge of this crime among them. Then they asked Moses to seek an answer from his Lord. Therefore, Allah commanded them to sacrifice a cow. That's when Allah said, surely Allah commands you to sacrifice a cow. They said, do you scoff? We ask you concerning this murder as you tell us that to kill a cow. Moses said, I seek refuge from Allah, that I be of the foolish ones. This means that he was only telling them what was revealed to him, what Allah had told him when he asked him their question. Ibn Abbas stated that if they had killed any cow, they would have the answer. But because they demanded details, Allah gave exact information and requirement for the type of cow. Then Quran 268-71 continues with, they said, call on your Lord that he informs what it is. He said, surely it is a cow, neither old nor young between the two. So do what you are commanded. They said,
we want to know, they're asking details. How old the cow should, look. It's not old, it's not young, it's between. Any details? When I look at the Bible and God is giving a command for the children of Israel, kill a lamb. He said the lamb must be a 1 year old. The lamb must be 14 days. The lamb must be no broken eye, no broken leg, healthy lamb. The lamb must be sacrificed. The lamb must be eaten. All of it, nothing be left over. If anything gets over, burn it through my fire. I mean, do I need to ask 30 questions to Allah? So Moses gave me exactly what is the age of the lamb, how can I hook it, how can I eat it, how much age of it, can it be broken arms, can it be broken arms? Information given by God to Moses first time in detail. Why can't we have it in the Quran the same way? No, it's not in the Quran. You know why? Because Muhammad, there's no detail. What can I have? I mean, how it's not all young, it's in the middle. Are you kidding me? In the middle?
Surely is a cow, neither old nor young, between the two. So do what you are commanded. Call on your Lord for us that he would inform us what the color. He said, surely, he said, surely she is a yellow cow. Her color is bright. She pleases the beholders.
Once again, that color never exists.
So I've got to ask this. Have you ever, I mean, you understand, you know, you're from Missouri. You know what cows look like. Have you ever seen a bright yellow cow?
As a matter of fact, I talk to people who work with cows, not just the farmers. The people who study the DNA of cows. When I wrote that book, I don't know if I mentioned it coming up or not. I think I wrote it. But I talked to people, specific people, who work with the genes of the cow, who work with the DNA of the cow. They said, never in the history of mankind we have a yellow bright cow. And by the way, the Bible calls it the color red copper. Red, not yellow, red. Know the difference between red and yellow? You see that here? That's a red. That's a red. Here, that's a yellow. You see the difference between this and that? Reddish color, not yellow, not bright yellow. They actually told me it is impossible to make a yellow bright cow. Go ahead.
We were doing dissecting the Quran. I was just laughing through this. But this
is stupid. I'm telling you, when Muhammad gives details, he's 100% wrong. It would be better for him if he said a color between yellow and red. That'd be safe. But to tell us a bright yellow? Well, good luck, Muhammad. Good luck. Go ahead.
Color is bright. She pleases the beholders. They said, call on your Lord for us that we would inform us what she is. That's what this is, the part that kills me. They don't know what it is. Surely the cows are all alike to us, and surely if Allah wills, we will be guided. He said, surely she is a cow not worn by plowing the earth or walking the field, submissive, no blemish in her. They said, now you come with the truth.
Really? Wow! If he did not say that, he did not get with the truth. He was making it up. You have to understand, guys. You have to understand. Moses is on earth. First, he was with Allah on the top of Mount Sinai. And Allah said, Moses, he said, yes, Lord. He said, I want you to go down and tell the people to sacrifice a cow. So Moses left the mountain, go all the way down the mountain, tell the people, Allah wants you to kill a cow. Okay, Moses, we'll kill a cow. But tell us, how old is he? Okay, Moses went up to the top of the mountain, talked to Allah, oh, Allah, I told the people, they're willing to kill a cow. He didn't know what all the sheep, oh, not old, not young, okay. On the mountain, hey, Allah said, hey, not old, not young, okay, someone's in between, all right, we will do it, but we know what color. So sure, went up back to the top of the mountain. Oh, Allah, the people want to kill the cow. Look, all the guns between. But what color it is? Oh, bright yellow. Sure. Oh, Allah said, bright yellow, please, God. Oh, who would do that? Kill a cow. Look, what guns between. Bright yellow, please, God. But if you know what kind of cow it is, we don't know what cow it is. Cows look alike. He went back to Allah. Imagine with me, Allah. And Moses and Allah. What a stupid Allah. What a stupid Moses. If Allah is all-knowing, can't Allah tell Moses, man, these people are stupid. They're going to have to think questions. Here's the answers. No. If we do that, the Quran will be too short. Allah wants the Quran to be a little bigger in Muhammad's imagination. So he made Moses go up to the mountain, down to the valley, up to the mountain, down to the valley, up to the mountain, down to the valley, to give us a stupid made of questions. And stupid made up answers. This is in the Quran. My dear Muslim friends, read the Bible. You want to know details about anything, it's in the Bible. Trust me, your Quran is so stupid, there is no right information in it, period, about any topic. No Moses, not Noah, not Abraham, not any story. The whole book is a comedy. It is dumb for dummers. It's dumb for dummers. Okay, so let's continue. What else is there?
Okay, we're on 70. They said, call on your Lord for us that he would inform us what she is. Surely the cows are alike to us, and surely if Allah wills, we will be guided. He said, surely she is a cow not worn by plowing the earth and worn the field, submissive, no blemish in her. They said, now you come with the truth. So they slaughtered her, and they almost did not do it. Wow. These qualities are more detailed from the previous command of Allah to simply kill a cow. They could not find a cow of this description except with a righteous man among them. And when they asked him to give the cow to be sacrificed, he refused. So they asked him if they could buy it from him, by its weight in gold. But he refused until they gave times its weight in gold. Then Moses ordered the people to slaughter it. Then they killed it. However, they almost didn't do it, meaning they were reluctant to do it. Then Allah commanded them to strike the person who had been killed with some part of the cow. Note the details of the word of Allah in the Quran concerning the description of the cow. Also notice the exceptional details Muhammad provides about the cow. Although none of this information exists in the true account of the Bible, Muhammad typically provides copious information and precise details only when he's attempting to prove that he's not lying about something. Such details are usually about relatively insignificant things. I can only imagine Moses speaking to his people when they asked him tedious, insignificant questions about the exact description of the cow. Moses went to the top of the mountain and asked Allah about the specific description of the cow. Allah answered his question. Moses came down from the mountain. Then the Jewish people asked him another question. Moses went back up to the mountain again and asked, continued, all of these individual questions were answered by Allah in this story. We must ask some questions here. Does the Allah of Muhammad know the future? Did he know all the questions that the Jewish people would ask Moses? If so, why did he not give a detailed, complete description of the cow before the Jewish people had asked all these questions? Perhaps if Muhammad or those who helped him tell this story in the Quran had read the account of the Bible, we would not have this poor writing style along with the many errors and mistakes found throughout the story in the Quran. A good example of an error is the color of the cow. As Muhammad clearly stated, it was bright yellow. Another huge error in the purpose of killing the cow. These errors will be revealed as we compare the Quran verses to the account in the Bible. As most also Muslim scholars ask about which part of the cow was used to strike the dead man. Some said it was the meat of the thigh. Some said it was some bone of the cow. That it was the spine, which is between the two shoulders. When they struck the dead body with the part of the cow, Allah raised the man back to life. Then he stood up, and Prophet Moses asked the man who killed him. So the man said, "My nephew killed me." Then the man died again.
That's not a story. If you don't know my favorite song, from VeggieTales, as a matter of fact, I changed it from VeggieTales to Fairy Tales. The Quran can be summarized into that song. Fairy tales. The VeggieTales song. So they're going to kill a cow to pick a part of the cow. Can we take the tail of the cow? Yes. Can we take the brightest part of the cow and have that done? Yes. I like what Christian Brent said years ago. I used to mention him and Christy. They said, you can take the penis of the cow and touch the man with it, and the man will come back to life. Why? Because the penis is part of the cow. In reality. What a stupid story from a stupid Allah to a stupid Muhammad to a stupid Muslim who believe it. Because when we read the Bible, we see it have nothing to do with raising the dead. As Christy, we're going to read off. We have time. Yeah, I think we have 4 minutes. What is coming up? Let's see from my book. It is just so stupid. And somehow the guy will come back to life. And the man will tell him, oh, it was my nephew who killed me. And then you go back to sleep. I mean, you die again. Where do we have the Bible? We have the Bible yet?
No, it's,
it's coming up. Yeah. Read this one paragraph, and it's all
good. Go ahead, read
it. It is written in Quran 2:72-73, and when you kill us all, disagree among yourselves about it, Allah brings forth what you are hiding. So we said, striking was part of it. Likewise, Allah gives life to the dead and shows you his signs. Perhaps you may understand.
Okay, one must ask some questions here. What is the source for Muslims to come up with this story? Does the reader, Muslim or not, get the sense that this is a fairy tale? The source of this account came from the Bible in Deuteronomy 21, verses 1 through 9. We encourage the reader to read the entire chapter and learn what the Lord said to Moses concerning future events, not about the murder of a specific uncle. Deuteronomy 21 clearly teaches that if a person was found murdered on a farm and no one knows who killed him, there was a specific procedure to follow. Notice it is a farm, not a crossroad or in front of someone's door where the person was found murdered. The elders and the judges of this land would measure the area between the crime scene and the nearest city. Then they would take a heifer, a young cow, from the nearest city, which had never been used for labor. The elders of this city would take the heifer into a valley, which had never been used for farming, and there they would break the heifer's neck. The priests, the sons of Levi, would draw near to the sacrifice, and the elders of the city would come out and wash their hands over the heifer, as they would state that they had not shed this blood and their eyes had not seen the crime committed. Then they would say, "Be merciful to people Israel, and lay not innocent blood onto your people." Then the bloodshed would be atoned, the guilt would be put away of the murderer, and the children of Israel would be forgiven. As for the bright yellow cow, I have investigated to determine if a cow of bright yellow could be bred. I was informed by a professional breeder with expertise in genetics that there has never been a cow of such color. Besides, genetics do not permit it. Genetic research backs this up. I learned there are several genes that will wash out the basic coat color. The dilute genes, there are apparently several of these, which do slightly different things. They are incompletely dominant. One copy turns red to light red or orange, black to gray, or brown to lighter brown. Two copies turn the animal lighter still, red to yellow or green, black to light gray, brown to dun. One variant of this gene in turns cattle nearly white in its homogeneous form. Note, the only yellow is a faded red cream color, not a bright yellow. The only place in the Bible where God asked Moses to kill a specific cow, heifer, is found in Deuteronomy 19:2. The Bible said it was to be a red heifer without spot, without any blemish, and which had never been yoked. This red heifer was to be burned for purification. We encourage the reader to read the entire chapter.
Amen.
Thanks, Christy. Paul, I think we got a good point to stop here for our program for today. But trust me, my Muslim friends, one of these hour or half hour, whatever time we spend on Saturday night to talk about what the Quran says about Moses, you see nothing but a comedy. Your Quran is a stupid book written by stupid people, interpreted by stupid scholars, sadly, naive Muslims believe in. Examine the Quran again and examine the book of Deuteronomy. Examine the Bible. Just use a location. Go to the Quran, read what is written, read the scholar's interpretation, Ibn Kathir and others, and read the Bible and read Christian theologian and Jewish theologian. You find your Muhammad was a dumb or dumber. If you continue to believe in Islam, continue to believe Muhammad, you're just lost for good. And when you die, you're going to spend eternity with Muhammad in a place that's called hell. Amen? Our time is up. Our time is up. Thanks, Christine. Thanks, Paul. I hope you guys enjoyed our program tonight. I know this Celtic music. I love it. And I wish I have the whole team here. But you know what? In the future, Lord willing, I'm going to bring the whole team together. Thank you. Any last word, Christine?
No, just thank you. God bless everybody.
Any last word, Paul?
Busy life. It's not, if you're
hearing this for your listeners, give your life to Christ. That's what I can tell you.
Let's take our last video here, 10 minutes, and we'll come. If you have any question, don't hesitate to write it down. First of all, collect the question, and we'll do our best to answer them. If, obviously, we know it all, and that will bring us to the end of our program for today. Until we get to the end, we'll see if there's any question, we'll love to answer.
It's not me that people are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator. We'll spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the news. I interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. There's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves, and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women, savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another, but they're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be. Done by his enemies. No, said another prophet. It would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a place, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all he had to do to disqualify him from being the messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. The extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him but the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his Messiahship. And you fulfill prophecies. There are over 100 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something. You can ignore it. You examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any religion in the world, the God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truth. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody to God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure have kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad. Oh, doing pretty good. Do my best. Who you are. I never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says it's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will. The list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. And you're screaming out the window, help, save me, save me. And I'm walking by. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness. A free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. That's what people are going to say. Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half. Maybe they're going to get in. If God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. Sets the standard. God hands over the bill, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, but your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. But then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin, That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen. I have to wait this 10-second delay for the people on the radio broadcast. Thank you for listening on the radio. And I'm going to pray for those who cannot